Look for. I made a mistake on verse 28 and 29, where it says, "And they all day in the synagogue, when they heard these things, were filled with wrath and rose up and thrust him out of the city and led him to the brow of the, whereupon their city was built, that they might cast him down headlong." I said that the leadership in the synagogue had the authority to do that. They didn't. They had the authority to remove him from the synagogue, but they did not have the authority to kill him, to cast him down. And so this was totally out of order, and so they had to be really, really mad to do this.
Well, his offense was that he said he was God. Is that what happened?
No. Remember, it talks, he pointed out that Elijah only went to a Gentile woman when she became a believer, and Elisha only went to a Gentile man, Naaman, and he became a believer.
And the subtlety did not escape anybody.
The subtlety was, yeah, you're in deep doo doo. You're not part of the kingdom of God.
Okay.
That'd be like me going down to First Baptist Church and saying, "Once saved, always saved" is heresy.
I might escort you out.
You might.
But not push you into the trap.
No, well, maybe.
Well, now, when he said he was God, though, is that a killing offense?
Well, that's what the Sanhedrin and the high priest accused him of, and that was blasphemy, and blasphemy can be a death sentence.
Okay, and then they'd have the authority for that.
Right, but that had to be from the temple, not from the synagogue.
Oh,
okay. Something bothered me about that yesterday, and I thought I was mistaken. I thought that that each synagogue had that authority, but they don't. Anytime there was a death penalty, it had to go to the temple, and the authority is there. Okay? So, we are in verse 32. "They were astonished at his doctrine, for his word was with power." His word is logos. Power is exousia, and it doesn't mean power like we think power. It means with authority, with no... And the reason, if you look in the Talmud, when you see anything, any position taken, they always reference an authority. They say, according to Rabbi Nisi, or Rabbi somebody, that was their authority, some past respected figure, because they couldn't just speak and let the word be the power. Okay, so let's see where that's used, because this is really important. Okay. Matthew,
which word
it's,
are we,
we're in power, exousia. Let's go to Matthew 7. This power has nothing to do with it's coming from in there. That's what it is. It's not a problem. The power has nothing to do with the force or loudness of his voice. It has nothing to do with things that may have gone on around it. It's the idea that the word that he speaks itself has within it the power, without reference to another source. Now, this is why you hear these guys, "Well, according to Matthew 7, blah, blah, blah." They always reference, like Jack Van Impe is a perfect example, if you've ever seen him. Every other word is the Bible reference, and it's like he's proving that he's memorized some scripture. And it's, you know, that's, you should always search the scriptures to see whether these things be true. But the speaker should have the authority And that's recognized that it is the truth. It touches something in you. That's what the whole I'm mystery is. All right, Matthew 7. Let's start in verse 31. No, let's start in 21. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name have done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken unto him, like him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And every one that heareth these sayings of mine, and doeth them not, shall be likened unto a foolish man, which built his house upon the sand, and the sun, and the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall thereof. And it came to pass, when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one having authority, not as the scribes. Now, by the way, the house that he's talking about is obviously the house if you do what he says the literal meaning, but it's talking really about the foundation of what you believe and what you preach and what your doctrine is. And so that's what the mystery of this parable is. But again, he speaks not as the scribes, but as one with authority. Okay, let's go to John 7.
Something in here about the rhema, because he speaks with the authority combined with the spirit, which is...
Yeah, but he never had to speak with rhema, because he was the speaker. He was the word.
Yeah, well, that's kind of, I think, where I'm going.
Yeah.
It's got the creative universe or God behind it, and so it's different than just words, which are just words, but beyond.
Right. And that's why it's Rima is so important for his people, because Rima literally, well, I don't know what it literally means, but Rima from a spiritual standpoint is when he has wrought in you those words. They've been tested by all that, with the winds and the rain and the blah, 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 blah. So.
Yeah, because like two people can say the same words. One, it means something. The other just
sounds like symbols or something.
Where are we now?
We're in John 7, verse... Well, this is when he was speaking in the last day of the Feast of Tabernacles. And the year before he was crucified. In verse 37, in that last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Now remember, this was said at the time of the pouring of water and wine into the... For the 7 days they poured water and wine into the... But on the eighth day they poured only wine into the altar. And as they were doing that, he was saying to them, because they had great, maybe it was on the seventh, it was on the seventh day, never mind. They were pouring water and wine into the altar on the seventh day. And so on the seventh day, the last day of the feast, because the eighth day means is a new feast, whenever they did that, there was great joy in the temple. And you remember that's when we had people dancing, and because they knew the meaning of this, that they, as the human race, were being turned into the wine of the bride or of the true Israel. And so he was speaking while they were in that great joy, and he's a sense saying, why have you such great joy from the pouring of this little bit of water? He that believeth on me shall flow rivers of living water, which shall have the same effect on the people, that they will be transformed from water into wine. Because that's what the speaker's purpose is, not to make converts, that's never the case. It's to make disciples. All right? Anyway, out of his belly shall fall living waters. But this he spake of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive, for the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified. Many of the people, therefore, when they heard this saying, said of a truth, this is the prophet. Others said, this is the Christ. But some said, shall Christ come out of Galilee? Hath not the Scripture said that Christ cometh out of the seed of David and out of the town of Bethlehem, where David was? So there was a division among the people because of him. And some of them would have taken him, but no man laid hands on him. Then came the officers to the chief priests and Pharisees, and they said unto them, why have you not brought him? And the officers answered, never man spake like this man. That's a biggie. All right? Now, it says the rivers of living water, he was speaking with the Spirit. But remember, the Spirit only has one job, to reveal Christ in us, which then, well, he has, remember, we got to go back to there. Jesus said, when he has come, the Spirit, he will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, because I've gone to the Father, I go to the Father. And of judgment, because the prince of the world is judged. So that he's convicting the world of that, so that Christ in them will be revealed. Amen? So the only judgment you should have is nothing. Because the judgment is the prince of the world has already been judged. The only righteousness you can have is Christ has gone to the Father. Where does that leave you? Well, it leaves you to stop eating of the fruit of the tree of good and evil. So you make judgments on your own basis. Amen? Amen. All right, that's enough of that. Next verse. It's too bad Harry isn't here. He always got, kind of weird when I talked about this.
The one coming up.
We're in Luke 4. Verse 33. And in the synagogue there was a man which had a spirit of an unclean devil, and cried out with a loud voice, saying, let us alone. What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Art thou come to destroy us? I know thee, who thou art, the Holy One of God. Now, it's in several places, and we'll probably look at it later, but in several places, the demons were the first one to recognize that he was the Christ. That's a big deal. What? You're doing something.
Just relating to what it'd be like to be a demon.
Well, I think he probably didn't want to go there.
See,
he didn't want to open that up.
The contrast would be pretty dramatic.
And this word, there was a man which had a spirit of an unclean devil. Spirit is just pneuma. Unclean is a katharos. not empty. And a devil is daimonion. And it means any inferior deity, whether good or bad. Now, let's go down to verse 41. And this is when he was teaching all over the place. And it says, "And devils also came out of many, crying and saying, Thou art the Christ, the Son of God. And he, rebuking them, suffered them not to speak, for they knew that he was Christ." Why? What's going on here? No, that's not what's going on. Why would they see that, and man didn't?
They were demons.
Are demons fallen angels?
Not necessarily. Probably. I think there's something else too, but that's a whole other world. Remember.
If you think of them as fallen angels, it makes a little bit more sense.
Yeah. Well, I want you to think of it. Remember, I'm telling you now what I believe. I'm not saying it has the scriptural basis, but I'm just going to tell you what I believe about that. And we went through this once before. I believe that there was a kingdom of Lucifer. And for several reasons. It talked about that Lucifer was in the garden before Adam and Eve were. It talks about and about all of the angels that were having sex with women before the flood. But I believe that it says, let's go to Genesis 3, I mean.
You got a reference for this.
Huh? What'd you say?
You have a reference.
Well, I'm just trying to explain to you, this is a biggie, and I need to try to explain to you why I believe what I believe.
I agree.
In verse 22 of Genesis 3, "And the Lord God said, Behold, the man is become as one of us, to know good and evil. And now lest he put forth his hand and take also of the tree of life and eat and live forever. Therefore the Lord God sent him forth." That's an incomplete sentence. It was something so horrible it couldn't even be spoken. The idea that now if man, if that's what, I believe that's what happened with the kingdom of Lucifer. They ate both of the tree of knowledge and of the tree of life. And they were instantly spiritualized. And the world that then was totally and completely destroyed. There was nothing left. And it was destroyed by water. It wasn't the flood that we know of in Noah. It was totally destroyed by water. And there's a reference for that. And there's in Jeremiah. Well, let's look at one reference. Go to 2 Peter.
Now, when God said, "Become as one of us," he was talking about the Trinity.
He's talking about living in eternity.
No, in 22, "And the Lord God said, Behold, the man had become as one of us."
Right, knowing good and evil.
Us meaning?
Must,
Spirit, God, Christ.
Right.
Those three.
Yeah, because the same thing happened. Now let us make God in our image and likeness.
Yeah. Now, so Lucifer fell before this.
Oh, yeah.
In time, whatever.
So I think he fell when his kingdom fell. He fell when that kingdom, that age of Lucifer, ate both of the tree of knowledge and of the tree of good and evil, and the tree of life, I mean.
Yeah.
And they were spiritualized, and they were locked in space without regard to time. We, human race, is locked in time and space. God's people are outside of both time and space in eternity. And so that's the reason the demons were the first ones to recognize that he was Christ. The Christ, because they move without through space without regard to time. Does that make any sense to anybody? And that's why I believe there's so many evidences of these weird beings. Look at the gargoyles in all the ancient churches. That's a genetic memory of what these beings look like. But anyway, we're going to 2 Peter. It's homeopathic medicine. Yeah.
I was taught that Michael defeated Lucifer, the head of the good angels, versus the bad. Is there a reference to that?
Yeah, there is a reference to that. Okay. Everybody in 2 Peter? The second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance, that you may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior.
Where are you? Chapter 3.
2 Peter, chapter 3. In verse 3. Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lusts, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? Or as we've talked about so often, it can equally be translated, where is the evidence of his presence? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. Now it doesn't say from the beginning of creation itself. There's a definite article. So it's talking about this creation. For this they willingly are ignorant of. By the word of God, the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. Now I don't believe that's a reference to Noah. I believe that's a reference to an earlier flood. And I tell you, tomorrow I'll find the reference in Jeremiah which seals it. Okay? So anyway, let's go back.
We're back to demons now.
Right. We're saying where they came from.
Yeah.
And the reason they were necessary for the mystery of God is that the test had to be not only in the flesh, the test had to be spiritual. I mean, of that which was not dependent on time. You understand? It had to be in all three environments. Time and space, space alone. That's one only thing that got you into eternity. Well, I don't know. All right, back to Luke. Well, the reason we started all that is because we're looking at these scriptures which say and prove that the demons were the first one to recognize that he was the Christ before anyone else. Well, that's not true. That one prophet recognized it when they saw him, the baby, you remember?
Oh, yeah.
Zechariah. Huh?
Elizabeth's husband?
Let's go there and look at it now, since we're doing this. This guy was Simon. Chapter 2, verse 25. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ, or the Lord's Messiah. And he came by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought the child Jesus, to do for him after the custom of the law, Then took he up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thy servant depart in peace according to thy word, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. Now this guy, remember, this was Hillel's, one of Hillel's sons. But after since he became a believer in Christ, in the Talmud, there's absolutely no reference to him as being of anything. But here, he had to be a biggie, because he was big enough in terms of the authority of the temple to stop the circumcision service. And I had to be, he had incredible influence. And the only one that in that history that would have had that kind of influence would be the son of Hillel.
Son of who?
Great rabbi, Hillel.
Hillel. Okay.
Remember, we studied this when we looked at this before. So, other than that, the demons were the first one, and in many cases, to recognize that he was the Christ. And that's the reason we got into all that about Kingdom of Lucifer and all that, is to show where these guys come from, what the demons were doing, and why they were the first one to recognize that he was the Christ. Okay? Anybody have any questions about that? Any thoughts or comments?
Well, they recognized him because they knew him before this, or?
No. Again, I want you to conceive of a being that's locked in space without regard to time. You can move back and forth in time.
There.
So they saw the years ahead of that where he was resurrected as the Christ, and he went to the Father as the Christ. Remember, I told you my one experience with a demon in all of the years, and there was many, many instances where, anyway, the one experience, this being and this teenage girl spoke and revealed to me, how can you think you're speaking in the name of God when you've done all these things?
The girl wake up?
Huh? No, it was out. It was a Pleasant Grove. Well, anyway, that's a long story. We don't have time for it. So we will get more on this tomorrow, if the Lord allows. Anybody have any thoughts about any of this, John?
Well, it makes sense that demons would recognize Christ to me. I mean, they're beings that are superior to us. They have powers and things that we don't, that man doesn't see or know. So they would be in a position to be able to recognize those kinds of things.
Right, but that wasn't enough for me just to see that we know that. But was enough for me, how did they know it? And so they had to be locked in space without regard to time. So that's the only reason that my mind went that way. And remember this word, Damien, it means an inferior deity, whether good or bad, it doesn't matter.
Yeah, this notion that good people are angels, and
no, that's definitely not true. Not in the angel like you're talking about. The messengers are called angels in the scriptures, the preachers. All right, we'll finish this tomorrow. Or not. We probably won't finish it tomorrow, but we'll get into it more tomorrow. Take a big guy. But I want you to have questions. If you have questions, think about it.